T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms.
I did.
Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons. It was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I would like to think, anyway, I'm not one of these many, dare I say, analysts who will just obsess about what Twitter told them they were wrong about. Because who cares? There are lots of people. And I know our next guest is also not that way. But I do feel a little, I do get a little bit sensitive when we talk about James Cook. Because it really, you've had to drag me to,
yeah,
he's great or even really good or whatever, elite, anything of the sort. But I will say, and I want to say this with Ian in earshot, I'm past at least anymore telling Bulldog that Duke Johnson would be the best running back on the Bills.
There was an era. There was a Duke Johnson era in this room. Not entirely with the Bills, but Mike was, a lot of people in the fantasy space were enamored of Duke Johnson.
No one more than Ian. No one more than our guest, Ian Hurwitz. Is that right to say, do you think?
I'm sorry, guys. Is believing in the youth all-time leading rusher all of a sudden a bad thing? Come on now. Think about all the great running backs that have been through that university. No one had more career rushing yards than Duke Johnson. But, no, man, it is one of those funny things where, you know, the great minds of Bill O'Brien and freaking, you know, who was it? Hugh Jackson apparently, you know, covered the world, and everyone thought that they knew what was right to do with my guy Duke. So unfortunate, but I guess I can't admit that James Cook been just a little bit better than Duke and, by a little bit. I mean, a whole lot, looking like one of the best running backs in the league this year.
And they were here together. Johnson finished, that was the last we saw of him in the NFL, was one game 3 years ago. Cook is doing it again, Ian. This is, what, at least 2 years in a row where if you drafted him at cost this year, that would have been late third, early fourth on Underdog. I mean, that's a home run.
Yeah, and, you know, I think people were a little worried about the contract situation in the offseason. And as we've kind of been learning more and more over the years, it really does seem smart to go ahead and just fade, you know, those value drop-offs when you have the uncertainty going on in the offseason. So, honestly, this is a surprising thing for me with Cook. Obviously, I think we all thought that he was going to be awesome on the ground as long as he was out there, and he has been. But just complete zero in the passing game recently, guys. I know Ty Johnson's awesome, but my goodness, this dude does not have a single reception now over the course of their last three games. Got to go all the way back to September. So I saw today that Kyle Juszczyk has more targets than, you know, James Cook this season. So I know he's dropped some of those wheel routes for touchdowns over the years, but I know I also remember week one when he took a short little pass in the flat and turned it up field for like 51 freaking yards against the Ravens. So I would like to see a little bit more creativity in the passing game out of the Bills as a whole. Because, hey, as great as Khalil Shakir busting a random screen for 40 yards is and James Cook doing his thing, I just feel like when you look at this passing game, man, everything is just kind of very hard, and it's just all kind of about Josh Allen buying some time and making some crazy good stuff happen, which, hey, it's cool, but I just think that, you know, I would like to see, I should say, Joe Brady leading into some of the talents of his weapons even more. And, you know, I think that goes for James Cook, Keon Coleman, even Dalton Kincaid, who honestly has been the most efficient option, yet still can't get a full-time role because he's got to keep, you know, Dawson Knox involved.
Yeah, or he can't. Maybe they don't trust him to stay healthy. We're not sure exactly what is going on there. Ty Johnson has two catches this year, Ian, by the way. I mean, so the best third down back in the league is dubbed by Josh Allen. There's not a lot happening there. I hope his blitz pickups are really good.
You and I both thought Cook was in position to get targets last week.
I thought so, too, yeah.
Because there was off a bye, and they'd lost two games.
And there was all this narrative in the last game they played against Atlanta, you know, blitzing team, like, mix in some just swing passes or wheels or screens or whatever. Like, get the running backs involved and try to survive this onslaught of blitzes, and that never materialized in the Carolina game for Cook or anyone at the running back position. They don't throw to the backs at all. That's it.
And look, they're the fourth-ranked scoring offense. They scored 30-plus points in all but two games this season. Rich man's problems we're talking about right now, for sure. But, hey, this is now the status norm, you know, for the Bills. They're one of the best teams in the league. They have been for the last 5 years. So I do think it's fair to, you know, go in and just try to scrutinize things a little bit. I mean, guys, I'm a diehard Ohio State fan. They call all of us, you know, the lunatic fringe over here. You know, shout out Kirk Herbstreit because of how we just cannot take a win, you know, at face value. It's always like, well, we could have been a little bit better at this or that. So I know it can be, you know, a little bit whiny when I'm complaining about the usage of someone like James Cook or Ty Johnson. But again, expectations are so high, and I just want to finally see the Bills get over this hump here when the games really start to matter in January.
With Ian Harditz, it has not happened for Keon Coleman. And there was, you know, certainly some optimism, if not hype, for him in the offseason. By the time the draft season ended, I was buying into it. I was never like a Coleman guy, but I was buying into, you know, he's going to mature and be more of a focal point of their offense. Has not happened. Oh, maybe in either case.
I fell for all of it in the summer.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, is there, as you plot out the second half of your fantasy season, is there any Bills pass catcher, including Coleman, conceivably, that you want to have on your team?
I guess in Keon's defense, he was being drafted as a boomer bust wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5. And that's what he's been this season. You know, I think he's like the wide receiver 50 in PPR points per game. Yes, a lot of that came in one game against, you know, the Ravens there. And we won a lot of them in the second half. But you know what? That same sentiment is pretty darn true, you know, for Travis Hunter and the most of his production coming in one half as well. So, you know, I do think Keon sometimes gets a shorter end of the stick. But I've just been surprised to see, again, going back to kind of Joe Brady and the offense's lack of creativity. I mean, Steve Smith, I know, recently has kind of gone on blasting Keon and all this for not being able to win off press or outside. So, yeah, maybe make life a little bit easier for the guy that you thought enough of to draft, you know, with the 33rd overall pick. He's only had actually 35 snaps all season from the slot. I've always thought that his best role kind of would be more so as that big slot. So I just don't really feel like the Bills are really playing to his strength as much as they could. So, again, offense as a whole is doing just fine. But, no, it's been Khalil Shakir really emerging once again as the best wide receiver in Buffalo. And it kills me, guys, because obviously Khalil is just arguably the single best wide receiver in the league in terms of yards after the catch. He's second behind only Metcalf in that metric per reception, and he actually easily leads all wide receivers and tackles avoided per reception. And what, this is 190, 195 pounds dripping wet. So it's just funny to me, again, when like the top two wide receivers in Yak are DK Metcalf, one of the most freakish looking wide receivers we've seen in maybe the last decade, like post-Megatron, and then Khalil Shakir of all people. So, you know, one of the more slippery guys out there, and he's been a lot of fun to watch.
With Ian Harditz, I was talking to Matthew Collar today as I was preparing to. We were preparing to have you on. I thought, you know, I wonder if Ian knows Matt. But wait, we were on together on his podcast once, so of course you know Matt. And he brought up the Vikings play Detroit this week, and he brought up Jahmyr Gibbs, and he's like, "How is this going for fantasy?" And at first, I'm like, "Well, it's going amazingly," and even though Montgomery is still there and everything else with the Lions, like, you're getting huge production out of Gibbs. But I always would rather have had C.D. Lamb or Justin Jefferson in that 105 or wherever it is with Gibbs. So I don't have that much of him. When you think about the first round this year, I mean, we've had some busts at the back. Most of us, it seemed, wanted to be at the end of the first round, but there have been a lot of misses there. How do you look at it?
Yeah, the two guys that have really stood out, just not really giving us the value back so far, have been Nico Collins and then Brian Thomas Jr. So I know Nico's, you know, had some injuries on and off, but just that Texans offense, honestly, it was one of those groups where I kind of looked at them throughout the offseason, and they just put so much stock in basically swapping Bobby Slowick for Mick Kaylee, and, you know, even reading stuff like from Stephen Ruiz at The Ringer about how they were basically just not even changing the scheme all that much, just putting more, you know, stuff on the plate of C.J. Stroud in terms of figuring stuff out pre-snap. So, you know, it turns out basically replacing your bad offensive lineman with more guys that no one really considers is all that good hasn't exactly gone too well for Houston. So I don't think it's all on Nico, and I could see him having a nice second half. Texans were experimenting a lot more with using six offensive linemen out there last week. So honestly, maybe not the worst idea. But then again, going up against the Broncos, not exactly going to be easy. But hey, you know, no pass for 10 out there. So that should help for Nico. And then BTJ, man, just one of these things where between him and even Ladd McConkey a little bit earlier in the season, really just seems like these dudes have a case of the yips at a certain point. So Brian Thomas Jr., I know, is, you know, a second half breakout, had Mac Jones doing his thing. It wasn't like he dominated his entire rookie year, but it's just amazing to me how Jacksonville routinely brings in these talented wide receivers, and it seems like every single one just is never quite on the same page with Trevor Lawrence. So, again, I've been a bit of a T-Law defender over the years because you do see the high-end flashes. Obviously, had the great playoff comeback, and just in terms of being a quarterback who has the mobility and requisite arm strength, I mean, he does force his defenses to cover every inch of that field when he is at his best, and also still only 25 or whatever, which is amazing how long that dude's been in the league. But, you know, it just leaves a lot to be desired at a certain point when we got BTJ, we got Travis Hunter, we got a run game that's doing well, and you still can't get it going. So at some point, we got to start looking at that, you know, constant variable, and it has a triple.
Yeah, I certainly can't recall where Marvin Harrison Jr. was drafted, but he seems like another guy that you could maybe work into this conversation.
Yeah, I will say, though, I don't think there's been a bigger overall bust than Trevion Henderson. As someone who, unfortunately, was trying to beat that drum, really is disappointing. Yeah. So, you know, huge L on my part and everything. But I also look at the Patriots at a certain point. It's like, you know, you guys saw enough of this guy to draft him at the top 40 overall pick, and now we got Terrell Jennings, like, seriously taking carries away from the guy at the end of the game. So I think the book on Trevion was almost like, okay, and I honestly, as, again, someone who watches every Ohio State game, thought that this could be true. They brought in Quinshon Jenkins for a reason, but maybe Trevion isn't big enough or isn't strong enough to carry that every down workload in the NFL, and obviously that hasn't been the case. But to just see them go again multiple games, not even throwing them the football, not even giving them the sort of gadgety touches that you would think at least Josh McDaniels could get going, that's been the most shocking part for me. So hey, when you got Drake May under center, everything's been just fine anyway for New England, but that one with Trevion just not even getting, you know, 8 to 10 combined carries and targets per game, really can't figure that out.
I still want to be hopeful there for this season. I mean, he did give you some production last week. Stevenson has a toe thing. He's not practicing today either, apparently. And they're a touchdown favorite. They're going to be a favorite a lot. Their schedule is cake. I don't know. Hopefully, for Henderson's sake, he becomes one of the many, over the years, the many rookies that just have to take their time. And by the playoff weeks, you know, you're getting something out of them. I'd still pick him up. If somebody cuts Henderson around me, I would grab him.
That's fine. I'm just saying, like, it's a miss for sure. I mean, Travis Hunter is going to probably have a couple good games, and people are going to be quote-tweeting themselves from April saying, see, I told you, upside wins championships and all this nonsense. So it's just one of those things where, like, yeah, guys, I want to be right, and, you know, I'm happy to go through the process as well and talk about why we're wrong. But I think the rookie fever is just something that captures everyone. It's the reason why, for example, we see these veterans that people didn't want to draft because they were boring, you know, the Javonte Williams, the DeAndre Swifts of the world, who are just having these fantastic fantasy seasons, both guys inside fantasy top 12 running backs, and it's pretty much crickets all over the place in the social media world. So right. I'm certainly, you know, someone that needs to go outside, touch some more grass, you know, get away from the computer as well. I'm sure a lot of us are like that. But it does just, like, you know, the baseball too and stuff, okay? Yeah. Travis Etienne has been having a great season. He's been healthy. And then everyone's all of a sudden like, well, post-bye bump for Bashaul Tutin. Under what reason? What has this dude done for how explosive he's supposed to be? He's got the most carries in the league without a rush of 10-plus yards. And I'd argue even LaQuint Allen has looked a little bit better on pass down. So, again, all due respect to everyone, you know, trying to grind these rookies and having a fun, you know, pre-draft process and everything. But I just think it's this, you know, addiction to trying to say, like, oh, look how right I was 6 months ago, when at the end of the day, I think we all just want to talk some ball. Like, again, it's ridiculous to me that we're on Sundays watching, you know, modern-day gladiators play 11-on-11 football. football, constant car crashes, like the best sport on the planet. And a lot of people's first takeaway is like, oh, yeah, I remember when I said this 5 months ago.
I'm not on the talking part, but I'm so guilty on the rookie part. I'm so guilty. In our defense or my defense, it is important to know, like, a lot of the ADP chasing that I do, that's revolving around best ball and their million-dollar tournaments, and you need the guys who are going to play at the end of the season, and there still is that. But, like, Evan Silva, Bulldog, was on Bet Sweats today, and I love Evan. And, you know, it's that Jack Nicholson meme where he's just nodding and smiling, because Evan's right there with exactly what Ian just said. Bashel Tootin, post-bye week bump. Watch out for Keaton Mitchell tonight. He's on Keaton Mitchell tonight. He's on, maybe you are too. He mentions Breshard Smith. Like, these are all my guys. And every time he mentions one of these, and Sam and Joe usually don't know who these people are.
Right.
And Evan will mention those names, and I'm Jack Nicholson just nodding at my camera to myself, at my screen to myself, like, yeah, buddy. So, I don't know. You made a sound on Mitchell.
Mitchell, yeah, whatever, man. He'll probably get a few touches here and there. I mean, I still think it's Henry and Justice Hill. The Breshard Smith thing's another funny part, though. Would you guys, like, all right, just based on what you've heard and your feelings about it, I mean, would you imagine that Kareem Hunt, slow, old, boring Kareem Hunt? Why is slow, old, boring Kareem Hunt averaging an extra yard per carry than Breshard Smith if he's so freaking electric out here? So, I don't know, man. Again, it's just the first half of the rookie years. Obviously, these guys get better in the second half and everything. But I just, you know, put some respect on these 27, 28-year-old running backs' names, man. I'm tired of it.
You're right. Javonte Williams, I mean, we all had to have Jaden Blue. At least Evan didn't get – well, maybe he did get to Jaden Blue today. Bills Chiefs, Ian, what do you think? What do you think happens?
I think the Bills win this one because they almost always beat the Chiefs in the regular season. I mean, Josh Allen 4-1 against them. Really, though, it just comes down to what's going to happen in January. As much as everyone loves to say, oh, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson can't win the big one. At some point, you got to look at this Bills team. Like, you're run by a defensive-minded head coach, Sean McDermott, and they just cannot get a stop when it actually matters in January, guys. So the Bills versus the Chiefs. Again, they've had 5 regular season games and 4 postseason games over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. In the regular season, they're averaging 26 points per game. Postseason, they're averaging 28 points per game. Josh Allen's production is up. He's throwing a ton of touchdowns, not turning the ball over too often. The offense has been fine. In the postseason, though, the Bills are averaging 35 points per game allowed against the Chiefs. That's up 2 entire touchdowns compared to the regular season. So you got to tip your hat to Patrick Mahomes and all those guys in Kansas City. But goodness gracious, like, even last year, just the efficiency that a bad, you know, relatively bad, I should say, Chiefs passing game was able to have, like, at some point, you know, got to look at the man up top and say, hey, you know, what is it exactly that you're doing here if you can't get that defense on its right track?
Right on. Thanks for today, Ian. As always, we always love having you on, and good luck in Week 9.
Fun time, fellas. Talk to you later.
Okay. Ian Harditz, Fantasy Life. I mean, you know what another example of that running back point would be? Ray Davis at this point. Year 2 of Ray Davis.
Yep.
How, I mean, Breshard Smith. Okay, fine. This is Kansas City. Davis hasn't really done a thing.
No, I mentioned Ty Johnson has 2 catches. Davis has 3.
And Cook is 12.
He has 12 catches, Cook. But, you know, obviously running the ball, Cook is doing great. Nobody else is running the ball, you know, Allen. But, yeah, Davis, I would have thought Davis would be, like, I don't know, a couple hundred yards by now. I thought he would get a lot of work, and it would be effective. And I don't, like, maybe he'd be getting more work if it was working when he gets work, right? But it's not, and so it's like kind of one and done usually with him because it isn't popping.
22 carries for 46 yards and 2 first downs. I don't know.
It's weird. For as effective and efficient as they are running the ball, and Allen's impact on that, it's weird that Davis has not done really anything when given opportunities. Again, they're minimal, but still, you got to earn that. You know, you got to have to do something when you get the chance, and nothing's free. Is that the one catch and run in the Atlanta game that was, you know, a nice play? And Ty Johnson's a ghost too. Like, at least production-wise. I mean, he's on the field for these, you know, third downs and two-minute drill type stuff, but it's just nothing happening there.
803-0550 for your calls. We've got a window here. Sal will join us at 5. The Sabres are in Boston. Second trip this year already. Paul Hamilton will join us to start our pregame coverage tonight at 6. Lines open. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I haven't seen anything from him because he hasn't had the opportunities. Because the opportunities don't make themselves available, he just doesn't get open fast. Josh Allen looks his way. There's a few times when it's press covered, Josh looks over there. But Josh gets off of him very fast. And some people say, oh, but he, like they do, jump in the comments and they say, well, he was open on this play, but Josh got off of him. Yes, that means he's taking too long. That means the quarterback doesn't have confidence in your ability to get there.
Steve Smith. Well, the beat goes on here with Coleman, and
he could
really use a game, you know, like even a mid-game.
Yeah.
5 catches, a touchdown.
He's got 27 catches on the year. I mean, it's not 4 a game. It's just under that, but...
Right.
It's just been not,
7 1/4.
It's just not popping. I don't know that he doesn't need to be the brunt of the criticism necessarily, but I guess, you know, whatever. He was the guy drafted to fill a spot that was vacated by Diggs, and it's not happening. And I think what Smith is saying there is, I didn't watch the whole thing, so I don't know everything that he said, so I don't want to say like I agree with every word of it, because I don't know every word of it. But the part there about Allen getting off of it quick, I mean, I think you see that. I don't watch every play, but I seek out some stuff. And sure, there are plays where he comes open, but you're gone already. The cornerback doesn't believe in you. Is what I think I see there. And that's, you know, Allen, I read one breakdown, the amount of times he used the word, maybe it was Joe Marino, how many times Allen said the word trust within, like, the however many minutes of his post-game availability on Sunday. And it wasn't all about trusting, you know, Keon Coleman necessarily, but trust his feet, trust what he's seeing, trust. Just a bunch of, there's a lot of trust talk, and right now I think maybe that's a little bit of a tell. I don't think he trusts much that's happening out there in the passing game right now. That's how it looks to me. And he's not blameless in that, but, you know, it's hard to, you know, I think drop back and expect something that doesn't happen regularly suddenly to happen for you, right? So if he moves past something quickly, I understand why, because it's not consistent. He doesn't trust it. That's the word. That's not how Allen's not saying that, but I'm pulling his use of the word trust out and saying I think that's a key element here. I don't think he trusts it right now.
Enter Gabe Davis. Right? Maybe, probably. Not necessarily over Coleman, but I'm sort of assuming that they use him this week. now that he's healthy? I'm kind of assuming it. Is that much? Is that too much? Are you not assuming it?
I'm not assuming it. I think trying to think back on, because Owen came home from the morning show saying we talked, Davis was a subject frequently, and like it seems like he might play. And I don't know, talking to Sal yesterday, I think the best evidence to support him finally being able to practice, like being taken off of the injured reserve and put on the actual practice squad, is that they fast-tracked Maxwell Hairston. I think if Hairston hadn't shown up in practice and then played right away as soon as his window opened, I think we'd all still be going, oh, this Davis thing will probably be a process. But now that they fast-tracked somebody just last week, and it was a brand new guy, not someone who had been in the system for 4 years before leaving for a season, now it's like Davis, sure, he could play because they fast-tracked the other guy. I'm not assuming that at all right now. It could have. I mean, he's eligible to play. He's on the practice squad. They could elevate him.
But he's not in that 21-day
window rule situation. That's right.
You don't really need to do what they did with Davis until you might think he's ready. But that could, you're saying sort of maybe it's more likely the other way around.
I'm thinking he might be working himself into a spot where he could actually go play in an NFL game.
And he's not there yet.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, look, I mean, we might be splitting hairs because, of course, this game is important. I mean, they all are, but this is Kansas City. And if he's 100%, what if he's 90%? They might, you know, we've been talking about wide receivers all the time. And your take is, and I guess mine, like they need help.
Go get a guy. Well, there's a guy.
Here's one that has produced for you, and he's right here. So I don't know if he needs to be 100%. He's not a rookie. He's not somebody that they have to be that careful with necessarily, mm-hmm. if that's not unfair. Like if he's able to run and jump, let's go.
I'm not against the idea, by the way. I just am not assuming that he's going to get right in. But I think at some point he will.
I guess I more am from the standpoint of the offense is lacking.
Yeah.
And if they think so, like, why is he here at all? What were they bringing him here for at all? Depth?
Yeah.
Familiarity. In case of emergency?
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe we're there.
Maybe we're there. I mean, we got there with Jordan Poyer pretty fast.
We might be there. Yeah.
I mean, Jordan Poyer is now on the official roster.
Right.
As is Jordan Phillips. Like,
and it went,
they're not messing around.
And obviously went well enough last week. The mix, good thing that Poyer wasn't on the field for that one play that Hancock made. They did a good job of switching them in and out, although mostly it was run downs versus pass downs, and that turned out to be a rundown, and Hancock was out there. But he made a touchdown-saving play that Bishop athletically, I think, is capable of making that play. But I don't think anybody else back there is foot speed-wise. So, you know, good thing. So maybe they'll get by like that. I don't know. I'm not against trying Davis. I just do not want, I don't want him to show up and make a couple of plays and have everyone, oh, see, they're fine at receiver. It's fine. Gabe Davis is here. I don't know about that. Like I that would be a tough sell for me.
If he does play, if he's active, It's probably over Shavers, don't you think?
No, we talked about that yesterday.
I think
it's more Samuel is who comes out. I don't think Shavers comes out for Gabe Davis.
I don't mean inactive.
But like playing time.
Offensive snaps.
Yeah.
You want Samuel for returns probably if you have him available. Maybe. I guess it could go different ways.
Yep.
Are they going to deactivate Keon Coleman if they want Gabe Davis on the field?
No.
Who sits?
No. It's Moore or Samuel, and maybe Moore is the odd man out.
I think that's what I would guess.
But those are the two guys that have been – Shavers has played them all. It's been Moore or Samuel when they've wanted to pull somebody out. So I still think if Davis were to get activated – that it would be one of those two, unless they go, an extra number there. But I'm not ready to predict that either.
What are you ready to predict? The line? Are you ready for the line?
I'm always ready for the line.
Are you?
Yeah. I got no hesitation on the line.
And tonight's pick is an official pick. It's not just for show. It's not just for clicks.
I'm aware.
It's an official, Thursday Night Football is an official pick of ours.
Yes.
What is it, 7.5? Let me go look. The line coming up. Sal will be with us at 5. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.